study, the book said we should look at the two blind men. So let's turn to Matthew 9. It's a small portion today. Matthew 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." For when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. So, according to the book, this passage is split up into three portions. The first one's called "The Failure in Their Sight." So the first one is, when Jesus departed from there, the two blind men followed him. So we have three entities here. We have Jesus and the two blind men. And when it says when Jesus departed from there, we're reminded of last week's portion, which we covered on Jairus and his daughter and what he did. And it's interesting because when he did that, he basically raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And then he moves on. And I talked to a couple brothers after the meeting yesterday on last Sunday, and they shared some interesting things. One of them said that the reason he went to Jairus' house was because Jairus wanted him to come and lay his hands on the girl. While the centurion, he just said, just heal my servant. So it was interesting there. And then another brother said, back in the day, as Jairus being the head of the synagogue, you only had two major entities in the Jewish society back then. You had the synagogue and the Jewish people and people associated with the Roman Empire. And it's interesting. And the reason I brought those two up is, as an introvert, people say, and this is very common of me, is I don't immediately come up with smart answers or things like that. I usually take time to process. So if any brother has any comments about this portion this week, let me know and I'll bring it up next week, because I think those are truths we need to share and insights we need to do. So back to this week's message, this study we're going to look at. This is when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him. It's interesting that you have blind people following Jesus. Blind people cannot see anything. There's complete darkness. But they follow Jesus. And they're crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So when you're blind, I've heard that your other senses they try to make up for your lack of sight. Smell, touch, hearing. And so when these men followed, they somehow knew that Jesus was there and they followed him. And it's so true. And I was meditating on that portion on the blind men. What does it mean to be blind? And so a good way of doing that is you close your eyes and you say, "Okay, I'm blind," and you try walking around the room and you don't know where you're going. And spiritually speaking, a lot of people are like that as well. They're looking for the light. They're looking for spiritual direction. So they're falling and they're stumbling, but they're looking for that direction. But if you listen closely and you hear and you sense, then you can get a sense of what's happening around you. So they say, in many ways, it is, you don't know why these people are blind. They may have been blind from the past. from the time they were birthed or they became blind. We don't know any of that stuff. But in many ways, we could say we too are looking at the scripture for the first time, and we too are blind. We have Jesus, who it says departed from there, which context is, you have to look at the previous portions, and we see he saved people. He did save people. He did miracles. He healed people. In the blind man, we don't know anything about the blind man, just that they're blind and they're following. So then the faith in their Savior is called the second part. So these two men follow him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So they knew that he was a, blind men knew that Jesus was the son of David. So they knew something about him as a person. They knew he was important. And they said, "Have mercy on us." And in many ways, you know, when we are looking for help, we cry out to the Lord and we say, "God, are you listening to me? Save me or help me out of this problem." And so in many ways, I can personally relate to these blind men, because many times we go to God when we're looking for something. We're searching for something. We need an answer. We're not going to God because he's our God and he's our Savior, but we're going to him because we need something from him. And it says, when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him. So it's interesting that he comes into the house. It's not in the open public, but it's in the house. And then they came to him. So in many ways, you're thinking these blind men are very persistent. They're following him. They know where he is going in the sense that they're following him. I don't know if they're touching his garment. I don't know if they're listening to his footsteps. But it's in many ways, I question or ponder, how are these men following him in the complete state of darkness? And is it because they need something so great that they're willing to make the extra mile to do that? And so when they're in the house, Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And in this passage, we see that God, Christ talks to them in the house. He doesn't talk to them in public. He talks to them in the house, and he talks to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." So in many ways, it is also, this blind man can, and this Christ story can be equated to non-believers trying to pursue the truth, and they find him, and they finally realize, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." So there is an acknowledgement that he is the Lord. And so they come and they you know, follow him, and he says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" The question is, I ask everyone here, do you think they would have said anything else if Christ asked that, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Or would they have said, "No, we're just here, we're hoping you would save us"? But they knew enough to say, you know, he's healing people around us. He's raising people from the dead. He healed a lady with the blood problem. So they know there is truth to that. And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then Christ doesn't question their motive, because he knows who they are. And then he says, then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. So in many ways, you see two blind men following Christ in complete blindness. You have, basically, they're holding on to each other, and they're trying to figure out this person, son of David. They follow him to the house. In the house, Jesus says to them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And the next thing you know, Jesus touches their eyes, and their eyes were open. So at that point, one of the things that I have, when I was studying this passage, I wondered, you have two people here who are pursuing the Lord, following him with complete darkness because they wanted something. And they go to his, to the home, and you know, Jesus says to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they say, yes, Lord. And then Jesus touches their eyes, and their eyes were open. So this is where, I would say, this is the climax of this story, because next thing, and it says, Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all their country. At that point, they had to make a decision. These two people, they knew who he was, they followed him to the house, so they were persistent, and they followed him, and they got healed, and their eyes were open. Then the question is, what are they going to do next? So in many ways, it is also a story of the non-believer who becomes a believer. A lot of people, they search for Christ. They search for the truth. They go to school. They do all these, they read books. They find all these things. And once they know the Lord and they're saved, the question is, what do they do next? Right? Do they simply follow the Lord, or do they say, you know, I know the truth and it's good enough? And so we see here, so the first person was the failure in their sight. The second part was called the faith in their Savior. And the third one's called the folly in their service. And so the next thing Christ says, sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. The question is, why did he sternly warn them? Did he know about their heart? Or did they act like they knew what they were doing after they saw their the sight? He didn't just say, he make a suggestion. He sternly warned them. And what they do is they say, when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. So to the point where from verse 27 to verse 30, the first part, we see two blind people following Christ, and they get their blindness is taken away. And you know, if the portion just ended there, we would say, "Wow, these two blind men—they are men of faith. They're doing what God did." And then we make assumptions since they were saved by the Savior, that they will do what they're told. But it's interesting that in verse 30, Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it, and they disobeyed him. It's called in the scriptures, in the study book, it says, the folly in their service. Now, when you look at that whole portion, you say, why did the blind men do this? Why did they not listen to Jesus? Were they because they were so happy that they could see? And they didn't care about what the Lord was saying? Were they there because they had a goal in their mind that they were going to get healed? And that was it? And they were going to go do something else? In many ways, this is also a mirror into our lives. A lot of times, a lot of people do is they get saved. Oh, I'm saved. I have my faith in heaven. And then they go do their own thing. They don't listen to God. And they think they are doing God's work by doing the things the way they think they should be done. Even though Christ here says, sternly warn them, see that no one knows about it, what do? They go ahead and talk about this miracle. If I didn't see that portion in there in verse 30, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. And we see, okay, the blind men were healed, and then they went and they spread the news about him in all the country. We were like, these guys are doing an amazing thing. They got healed, and now they're proclaiming what Christ did in their lives. But when it says, Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it, now it looks like an act of disobedience. So in many ways, we see people around us and we think, you know, they're doing a great thing. And I'm not saying, I'm not particular about anyone, but we have to know that sometimes the Lord doesn't want certain things to be done by the believer. But as Christians, we cannot discern because we don't know what the intention of the person is and we don't know what the Lord has truly in store for us. So we need to be blind men are, and is that what it should be? Is that what we should be doing? And you know, and is this a good picture of us as Christians? I would say there are incidents in my life where I think I know what's better for me because now I can see the world around me. I am in control, so I'm going to do what's right, and I'm not going to care about what the Lord has told. When you were blind, you were completely at the mercy of God. So it's a good cautionary tale about us as Christians is, you know, the God may bless us with things that are very good, and then we say, you know, we don't need God. God, take a back seat. I'm going to drive this van the way I think it should be done, even though God's saying, you shouldn't drive this car to the left, but you should go to the right, but we don't listen. So another thing the scriptures is so wonderful in many ways. So we have here two blind people who are following Jesus. They go to a house where Jesus is. Jesus talks to them. He heals them, and he says, don't talk about it. Don't say what happened here. But they go ahead and spread the news. Now let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 29. Here we see two blind men as well who get healed. Matthew 20, verse 29. Matthew 20, verse 29. Now they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them they should be quiet, for they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So here we see two blind men who are outside of Jericho, and these blind men are following. They're sitting by the road, and they heard Jesus was passing by. So even though they couldn't see, they could hear, and they knew that Jesus was coming, and they were aware of what Christ and Jesus was doing, and they said, you know, and when they heard him, they said, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And it says the same thing in the other, it says in the other portion, Son of David, have mercy on us, right? The other thing we see here is these two blind men are sitting on the road. They were in a crowd. Then we see that the crowd tells them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Here we see that the persistence of these two blind men, they were not walking to the house of Jesus. They were by the road, and people are coming, be quiet. But they said, no, I need to be persistent. This man can save me, give me eyesight. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And so again here, we see the healing. Jesus doesn't go next to them. He says, and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? So it's all the communication, and their hearing is good. And then they said to him, Lord, our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Unlike the other two blind men, these two followed him. The other difference is, this miracle was done in front of the crowd. It wasn't done in secret like the way the other two were healed. This was done in public. So the question here is, it's similar, but it's different. And we see God's reaction being the same. But we also see, once these individuals get their sight, that their reaction is also is different. So the question is, you know, it's interesting. It's about two blind people we talk about in Matthew 9. When you're blind, you cannot see anything. You cannot see any shade of color. You cannot see any object. It's all dark. And in Genesis 1, it says, God made, what does it say? Genesis 1. And the earth was still without form and void, and the darkness on the face of the deep. Right? It was dark, it was void, there was no object, there's nothing there. And then we see the two blind men in Matthew 9 given eyesight. And we see these two individuals who are persistent, they completely disobeyed. The other thing that this portion in Matthew 20 shows us, it's just a similar story, but now we can compare the two. It provides us more insight. How people are, the state of these two individual men in Matthew 9 and the state of these two individual men in Matthew 20. But the amazing thing in all of this, Christ never changed. And in John 1 it says, you know, Christ is the light. But we as individuals change. We react a different way because our motives are different. And and our goals are different. The more I thought about the two blind men in Matthew 9, I said, did these men really believe that they wanted to follow the Savior, or did they just go to Jesus because they knew their eyesight was going to be, he would restore their eyesight? Compared to these two other blind men who are in Matthew 20, did they believe that Christ is the Savior, and they were going to follow him? In reality, I could see myself in both ways, and that's why this is so helpful, because in the end, it's a clear, it's a microscope into how we are as individuals. There are situations where I act like the two blind men in Matthew 20, and or act like the two blind men in Matthew 9. It doesn't mean that I'm being saved. It means that when do I follow Christ? And when do I decide to say, Christ, I don't agree with you, you take the back seat? Because you see, the scary part of all of this in those two scenarios is the blind men see Savior. They could see what he was telling them. They could see the power of God. A lot of times, the blind men in Matthew 9 did not obey God, but they thought they knew better than Jesus compared to the ones in Matthew 9. Any brothers have any comments? Thank you.